If you would turn with me then to the 15th chapter of the book of St. Luke. St. Luke chapter number 15. The first of the sermons in this series was Two Goats. Then last week I preached on two thieves. This Sunday I start a three-part sermon on two sons from Luke 15. Again, I'll begin reading with verse number 11, if you would follow along with me, please. And this is Jesus speaking. And he said, "There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me.' And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. He was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate." This is the word of the Lord. This is the third of what we call the parables of joy in Luke 15. Joy over the lost sheep found, joy over the lost coin found, and finally the lost son being found or received of Luke 15. The third parable today is also told by the Lord Jesus in response to the accusation of the Pharisees and the scribes, who said this man receives and eats with sinners. This man receives and eats with sinners. What an accusation. This is verse 2 of chapter 15. It's a good thing that Jesus does receive sinners. If he didn't, none of us would be here. None of us would experience God's saving grace if Jesus did not receive sinners. The second part of that accusation, eats with sinners, alludes to fellowship. He not only receives us, but he fellowships with us. We have fellowship one between the other. Well, let's go to this story. Verse number 12, the younger son approached his father and said, "Father, give me the share of the property that's coming to me." he being aware of the custom of leaving inheritance for children, he boldly approaches his father in a strange time, but he demands his share of the inheritance now. Give me the share of the property that's coming to me. Normally, according to Jewish custom, and it's also customary in the West, that an inheritance is normally given at the demise of the estate holder. It's a part of the will, last will and testament of the one who passes away and who holds those proceeds. Strange, because the younger son said, I want my inheritance now. He didn't want to wait until the appropriate time for his father's property to be dispersed. Now, his demand was legal. There was nothing illegal about the demand. It does appear to be rather presumptuous, to say the least. It also appears as if he has a spirit of disrespect. He's taking things out of order. He's upsetting the plans of his father, the estate holder. I'm sure he had no plans to disperse assets before his demise. Also, it could be looked upon as this request is being done with somewhat of a spirit of disrespect and ingratitude as well. The father's reaction is admirable. Every father would not have responded in this way, for sure. But this father, knowing his son, believes it's not worth argument or an attempt to reason with someone who is already presenting himself to be unreasonable. The father concedes and he grants the request. He divides the property prematurely. Now, the younger son gets one third of the inheritance, while the older, the firstborn, who enjoys the double portion of the father's inheritance, would get two thirds. It would seem like any prudent person would want to see their savings or their inheritance grow over time as the father acquires more property, real property or land. But he didn't think along those lines. What is one third today could possibly have grown to one half over time, but he demanded that he receive his portion right now. Father grants that request. It is interesting as we read through this text how that impromptu decisions born out of instinct and impatience often do not bear us good results. If the young son had been patient and thought it out, as I just mentioned, perhaps his father's investment portfolio may have grown, and in time his inheritance may have even been greater. But there was no time for that in his own mind. His youthful exuberance and also his lack of sound judgment, with that combination, he decides he wants to make this request, receive his inheritance now, and I'm going to leave, and I've got plans to travel to a faraway place. There's one thing that's worthy of our thought as I pondered this text, and that is the providence of God in this young man's life. And I want you to think about this also, of course. This young man is exposed in his upbringing in this house to all that is righteous. All the blessings that comes from a father's giving, loving heart is something that this young man can never, ever wipe from his conscience. You know how you were raised. And if you were blessed enough to be raised in a Christian home, those principles, those values stay with us for the rest of our lives, even if some who were raised in those same households reject those values, they still are aware of their existence. The expressions of the Father's love will stay with this young son for the rest of his life. He'll never forget his exposure to what is righteous and what is true and what is just and what is loving. Providence of God that allows us to be raised in the environments that we're raised in. Or if we were not raised in a Christian home, to at least come under the influence of some who were Christians or are Christians at some point in our lives. This is the providence of God at work, that God places us in circumstances, whether it be family or employment or friendship, that we come in contact with those who mirror the values that God wants to impress upon us. For us to see the gospel lived out in the lives of others. And in this way, though we may not even be a part of a church-going family, in this way, we see the love of God. The expressions of neighbors who are Christians and who are loving and kind. All of these things leave indelible marks upon our hearts. This young man is no exception. He knew how he was raised. He knew what he was exposed to. He saw the Father's loving kindness, the generosity, his love and concern. But he left anyway. I would like to say, as a means of encouragement to our parents, that you're not necessarily doing anything wrong when your children or our children reject our form of living or our lifestyle. He left just the same. Not many days later, verse 13 says, this young man wasted no time. He's full of vim and vigor. He has big plans. His mind was made up, and a hasty decision led to a hasty departure. In his mind, he knew what he wanted, at least he thought he did. And he was going to go get it. I've got bigger plans than this place. I've outgrown this place, this town that I'm in. I'm going to be somebody. It was as if there was a voice calling him from a distant land. Someone calling his name, a life that was attracted to him like a magnet, pulling him someplace else. Unfortunately, pulling him someplace else where they didn't share the same values that he was raised with. Pulling him into a life that he had never experienced before. Beckoning him and calling him to leave and come this way. Oh, we all know, because we all, as I mentioned last week, we're all still living in this body of flesh. We're all still tempted and tried. And we all know that Satan is relentless in his temptations. There was a life out there that he was curious to live. Curiosity takes the place of experience for youth. When we as adults who should know better walk away to a different lifestyle, we have experience and we know what's good for us and what isn't. But for the youth, for the younger ones who have not experienced much of life, it's the curiosity that also leads them to these experiences. They're listening to the wrong voice. They're hearing the wrong message. A life he was curious to live. Things that he had never seen that he wanted to see for himself. an experience that he had never had that he wanted to enjoy. This young man, he had a voracious appetite for something different than the rules and oversight of his father's house. He had a taste for freedom and independence, and in his own mind, he was going to satisfy that hunger for them both, no matter what the consequence. Tired of all things right and just and wholesome, he gave into the lure of his lustful imagination in the name of independence. Ready to explore the shady side of life without parental supervision, he quickly packed his belongings to move. His father did not attempt to forcefully stop him from departing. He knew in his own heart he had given his son a good life, but his son, at least temporarily, no longer desired the good, but chose the evil. In the young man's mind, whether he thought of it this way or not, this is love taken for granted. And I'm sure the father must have been crushed and thought to himself, perhaps, if my love, the father's love, wasn't enough to stop him, nothing really will. The younger son gathered all that he had and he took a journey into a far country, far country. Isn't it amazing how that people, often youth, it's not always youth, surprisingly, or maybe unsurprisingly, how that when people want to leave the influence of the church, and I don't mean a particular church, I mean God's church universal, when they want to move away from the principles of godliness and righteousness and give in to the lure of another lifestyle, that they often take drastic measures. And the people that we see, they don't resemble the person that we once knew who lived a different life. I wonder, while he was packing, in my mind as I was pondering this text, I could just see him standing there. Maybe his suitcase was opened up on the bed. It probably wasn't even his suitcase. He probably had to borrow one. Or maybe he took one of his father's burlap bags that was used when he sheared the sheep and put the wool in those bags. But I'm wondering, when he was packing to leave, did he realize that every sock that he picked up, every pair of pants, every shoe, it all came from his father? The father had gladly paid for and provided it all. Additionally, it was the father that would not only provide his clothing, but it was also the father who gave a covering and warmth for the body. Standing in that shelter, it was his father who provided shelter from the rain. If he had eaten that day, it was his father who had provided food and put it on the table in abundance. His father provided it all. And yet he's going to walk away from that. He still wanted to take leave of all these fatherly expressions of love and commitment and go to it on his own. Since his aspirations were far from the life that he had in his father's house, he decided to move as far away from that holy influence as possible. He traveled far away and perhaps thought he would be out of range even of his father's prayers and thoughts. You know, sometimes when you travel and you get into certain areas, you don't have cell phone receptivity. This young man wanted to get as far away as possible. Perhaps in his own mind, so far away that he cannot feel the effects of a father's godly prayers. Another way of looking at this is he may have moved far away out of respect for his father, so the father could not see or hear about his son's waywardness and unholy lifestyle. He had intentions that he wanted to be hidden from the father if possible. This is true rebellion, by the way. A thirst for doing what is objectionable and ill-advised by his father. He moved far away. Sometimes we find ourselves trying to reason with those who've made these kinds of decisions. And my feelings for those exercises is this. This is a battle with God, not with anyone else. Trying to convince or argue with someone who's made decisions that are contrary to what you believe, it only broadens the gap. It only affects the relationship negatively more. But when we leave it to God and realize that this battle is the Lord's, we stand a much better chance of seeing eventually there will be reconciliation. There in that far country, his identity would not be known because no one will know who he is. No one will know his parents. Oh, they won't say, oh, yeah, I know your dad, Bill. I know your mother, Mary. Oh, no, no one will say that. No one knows him. No one will know what family he belongs to. The Benson commentary says about this that him moving far away may suggest that he traveled there to a country to be with people who had no knowledge of or desire to worship God. Now that's pure speculation. We don't know. We do know that he shut off all communication with his father by moving far away, where he could not be found, or at least where he thought he couldn't be found, in hopes it would soothe his conscience, where he would not see his father and be reminded of his fatherly love and concern. But he would go and he would dive headfirst into a lifestyle completely contrary to what he had been exposed to in his upbringing. The second portion of verse 13 says, "And there he squandered his property in reckless living." The Lexham English Bible says of this sentence, "There he squandered his wealth by living wastefully." And the NET Bible says, "There he squandered his wealth with a wild lifestyle." I like that one better. That sounds a little more contemporary. He was out of control, as we'll see. And there, if you just stop with those two words, says something also about the mercy of God. God allowed him to get there. God was with him as he traveled that road of rebellion. God didn't strike him down. God didn't allow a terrible plague to come upon him. He didn't allow his legs to cramp so that he couldn't walk. Certainly God didn't blind him. He let him travel that road of rebellion. And he arrived at his destination. Here our text provides us with the exact price of rebellion, and that is waste. That's all he has to show for his expedition into a life of rebellion. Nothing but wasteful living. The text put it very succinctly. It didn't go into a lot of detail about everything he did, every place he went, what he spent his money on. The Bible just says, there he squandered his property, his inheritance, in a wild lifestyle. You can just let your imagination run wild. That's all he has to show for a wasteful life. Our text also may be giving us some indication of the unhinged and uncontrollable power of sin when we are attempting to fight the temptation and power of sin ourselves, void of the presence of God. You can't overcome sin by yourself. I can't, surely can't overcome sin by myself. I need the power of God to overcome the power and the temptation of sin. It's a life that's out of control. And we may be sitting here saying, oh, well, I'm not living that kind of a wild lifestyle. I'm not doing this and I'm not doing that. I'm not going here. I'm not going there. I'm not tasting this. I'm not drinking this. I'm not visiting this kind of place. I'm not visiting that kind of place. I'm not doing any of those things. Well, but let me ask you, as I have asked myself a million times, am I ever tempted in my mind and heart to do any of those things? And the answer is yes. Because we're all tempted one thing or the other. Yes. And what do we do when temptation comes to us? We pray and we ask God, Lord, help me to overcome my temptation. Maybe your temptation is not necessarily in a raucous lifestyle, but what about rebellion in our hearts that no one can really see? That we put a nice face on when we come to church, but we're really dealing with anger, deep anger, resentment. That happens. We're human. This young man, he sees he's wasting his entire inheritance, but he can't stop. He sees what he is participating in is contrary to what he was ever exposed to or taught. But he has a hole in his pocket. He can't keep his money. It's gone. It's being spent. He has nothing to show for it. He can't say no to the wild passions of a lust-filled life. His new quote-unquote friends are making a living taking advantage of this inexperienced and naive young man who is away from home for the first time. He can't tame himself. He can only give himself over to every opportunity for pleasure. Therefore, he's like a lamb among lions in a vicious world of dog eat dog. This young man's way over his head. He's out of his league. He comes here to this far country where people don't know him and they don't care about him. He comes here with no street knowledge, and he was a ripe candidate to be taken for all he had and all he was. He lost it all. He spent it all without thinking that someday he will have to give an account for what he spent. What he bought on the street life wasn't what was advertised. The devil shows glitz and glamour and a good lifestyle. No, that's not what you want. If you buy that advertisement, that's not what you're going to get. you might get Skid Row. You might get drug addiction. All it takes is the wrong drug put into your drink at the wrong place. And it might lead your life into a horrible spin out of control. He had been tricked by the trickster, and he was deceived by the deceiver. Let me move to a close. Sin had cost him his identity, his dignity, his honor, and his integrity, as well as all of his physical assets. It's one thing to be poor or to be in need. It's another thing to have no dignity, no integrity, to have no honor. May I remind you that Satan is not satisfied with taking some of this recruit's property, some of his dignity, some of his integrity. Satan wants to take it all. And in this case, he certainly did. This young prodigal son not only lost his physical possessions, but he also mortgaged his integrity. He lent his honor and gave away his integrity in this far country. Let me say that as a travel advisor, spiritually speaking, I can tell you this is no place to move. This is no place to move. This is a true and accurate picture of Satan's intentions for those who fall into his grasp. His intentions are for your destruction and devastation without pity. And we should note, in losing it all, none of it shall be returned by those who took it. They'll walk away with it all and laugh. Every business establishment where he lost his inheritance, all of them, had a sign in the window that says, "No refund. You don't get it back." He lost it all and would never get it back. And when he had spent everything, verse 14 said, a severe famine arose in that country and he began to be in need. Funny how life can be sometimes. That people can be up here one day, and the next, they've lost it all. His circumstances couldn't be worse. He now had nothing. A little while ago, he had seemingly everything. Pockets full. He now had nothing and apparently knew no one who did, or they weren't going to share it with him if they did. When resources were plentiful, he had no needs. Cash flush. But now that he's required to pay the high cost of living, he has no resources. In this time of famine, it's also a time of opportunity. If he had been wiser with his resources, he could have invested, and he could have been like a Joseph, who was an example of God's mercy in saving the starving in Egypt, or in Israel, while he lived in Egypt. Israel facing a time of famine, and Joseph's in a position of power, the minister of agriculture, we could say, in Egypt, controlling the vast resources of food that Egypt had, who had wisely prepared for a day of famine. But no, the prodigal didn't do that. He left his father's house in want of the light of the pleasures of life, but soon found himself in a far country in need of life's necessities. Well, I would like to ask you, because I'm going to stop here. He had no one to turn to, or at least he thought he didn't. For a person who found themselves fully embracing the lifestyle of the quote-unquote world, that is, versus the lifestyle of the church or a Christian, and who finds themselves in dire need, without spiritual resources, living a life where your dreams have been dashed, your aspirations have been crushed. You may feel like that the world, that there is no friend or no one to help. But I wonder, as this young man is wandering around penniless and hungry, I'm wondering how often he thought about his father. I'm wondering how often he thought about home. I'm wondering how often he thought about what he had and what his father still has. And when no one in that far country would aid him or come to his aid, I'm wondering how he thought about his father. And how there's never been a time when his father turned him away. Well, sinner, whoever you might be, wherever you might be, and by the way, we're all sinners, your present company may not be willing or able to help you. But I'm wondering in your life that you've chosen, in that far country, away from God, at least that was your intention, away from the influence of Christ and God's people, I'm wondering in that hour, in that life of yours, do you realize that there is a Father who sees your condition? And I'm wondering if this young man is ever going to say, I need to get back home. I need to get back home. If you're listening to me and your heart is far from God, and you listen to the message of the world and all of its values, and you've become disappointed in life because what you've seen and handled and tasted just does not satisfy. Are you ready to come back home? Let's pray.